1 John chapter 5, verses 10 through verses 13. Now, if you're able to stand, if you could please stand, just out of reading the Word of God. The Bible says here in verse 10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath witness in himself. He that believeth not God has made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God has given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you again for this opportunity to be able to preach your word, and I pray that you'd help me with the message you laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray that it would be a help to these people. I pray, Lord, that it would encourage the Christians and remind us what we have in you. And Lord, if there's one here that has a doubt about their salvation, Lord, I pray they get it settled through your word. And Lord, if there's one here that does not know you personally as their Savior, I pray that you allow the Holy Spirit to convict them. And Lord, that they would come forward and make it known that they need Christ as their Savior. And Lord, I'm thankful that you promised that all that would come to you, that you wouldn't cast out, Lord, that you would save. And Lord, I pray that you would just do a great work. Also pray for those that are sick, Lord, that you would help them. I pray for Ruth, as she's not doing too good. And I pray that you would help the Sprouls family, that they would be better. And others that aren't here this morning, I pray, just help them to be able to recover. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I apologize ahead of time. I'm getting a little water. Just helps my throat. Amen. So as we started, I think it was 2 months ago, maybe 3 months ago, we're talking about Back to the Basics. And in that series that we've been doing, it's talking about the major doctrines of the Bible. So we've been going through the Scripture. And last week we started talking about eternal security and evidence of salvation. Eternal security and evidence of salvation. We started from these verses, verse 10 through 13, and we could see ultimately this is from God, amen? It's God's Word who's telling us. We could see that in verse 10 it says, I thought it was verse 10, verse 11 it says this is the record, and verse 13, it says written. It's God's Word, amen. That's what we have to go by, amen. That's what we should base everything on that we believe, based it on the Word of God. What did God promise us? Eternal life. God did not promise you temporary life. God promised you eternal life. That word eternal means without end, amen. God promised you eternal life if you receive Him as your personal Savior. It's eternal. Can't lose it. We saw, our next point was, how do we receive that? It's through Jesus Christ. Muhammad will not get you to heaven. The truth of the matter is, Muhammad today is in hell, amen? And those that do not trust in Christ, that's where they'll spend eternity. It's only through Jesus Christ that someone can be born again. And then this week, we're going to continue that our series, and I'm going to talk to you about evidence of salvation. Evidence of salvation. See, look here what the Bible says in verse 13. It says, "These things have I written unto you." Amen. God wants you to know that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know. Amen. So He tells you that you may know, that you can know that you have eternal life, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. God wants you to know. God doesn't want you to go around in doubt. God doesn't want you to say, "I hope that I'm going to heaven." Amen. He wants you to know for sure that if you die, that you're going to heaven, that you may know. I'm thankful that we serve a God that loves us so much He willingly died on Calvary's cross to pay our sin debt, which He did not sin. Amen. It was us who were guilty, willingly took our place, and gave us a free gift of salvation. He offers it to us. And He promised that if you receive Him as your Savior, He'll give you eternal life. I'm thankful that's the God that we serve. Amen. But I want you to think about that. The fourth point from last week, we were talking about God's Word. We talked about the promise of eternal life. We talked about how it's through Christ. And here's the fourth point from last week, continuing. The evidence of salvation. The evidence of salvation. The truth of the matter is, not everyone who claims to be a Christian is a Christian. Amen? Now, I know that's probably not popular, but it's the truth. There are those that are Mormons. Mormons believe that they're a Christian. Now, I know we just had election back with Mr. Mitt Romney, who's a Mormon, and a lot of people say, well, he's a Christian. The truth of the matter is, someone who's a Mormon is not. Well, how can you say that? Well, the reality is, the Bible tells us the truth. They do not believe in one God. They don't. They believe multiple gods. They believe, the truth of the matter is, you go out and research, a Mormon believes one day that you can become a god. Imagine that? Jesus Christ is a god in their eyes. So the reality is, we could see through Scripture, they may claim to be a Christian, but they're not. The Jehovah's Witness will say the same, that they're a Christian, but the reality is they are not a Christian. Why? They do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. They believe in Jehovah God, that's what they'll say, and they do not believe that the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ Himself is God. You talk to a Jehovah's Witness and they'll tell you that. If you ask them, a lot of times when they come to your door, do what the Bible tells us. The Bible is their blueprint, amen, of what we should follow. The Bible says when they come to your door, don't allow them into your house, amen. Isn't that the wisdom of God? He knew ahead of time what they would try to do. Amen. He said, don't allow them into your house and don't bid them Godspeed. Amen. Don't say, I wish you the best. Amen. God's blessing upon you. He said, don't do that. Amen. That's in the book of, I may have been wrong, it may have been 2 John. Amen. I think it's 2 John where it states that. But anyway, they claim to be Christian. But they're not, amen? Because someone must believe who he is, amen? And there's other people, you know, there's some people in good, sound churches that aren't saved. Because they're trusting in something other than Jesus Christ. You know, there's people across this, just in the United States, that are trusting in baptism to get them to heaven. The reality is, if you're trusting in baptism to get you to heaven, when you die, you're going to go straight to the pits of hell. Amen? Baptism is by works. There's people that are trusting joining a church. You should join a church, amen? But the reality is, joining a church will not get you to heaven. There's people that try to do good things. After you get saved, you should do good things, amen? You should live for the Lord. But the reality is, that will not save you. Amen. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. But the Bible's clear. He wants you to know. God does not want you to go home and say, I hope that I'm going to heaven. Did you ever hear that thing? They used to take a flower and they would take one petal and it says, she loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. And whatever you got to the end, whatever it was, she loves me, right? Well, let's get rid of that flower, right? Amen. The reality is, that's not what God wants. God wants you to know 100% for sure that if you die, where you're going. Amen? That ye may know that you have eternal life. I'm going to give you 10 points. I don't think the points will be long. Amen? But you follow along. But this is extremely important. 10 points this morning through Scripture. I'm not going to give you my own opinion because my opinion really doesn't matter. 10 points this morning. And if you're saved this morning, you'll have these 10 points in your life. You will. Amen? If you're not saved this morning, you will not have these 10 points. Simple. Amen? It's black or white. Amen? You're either saved or you're lost. So here's the 10 points. I'm going to give you the first one. A or number one, whatever, however you're taking notes. First one. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Here's the first point. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? That means, do you have a testimony? Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Now, I'll be probably going to quite a few verses this morning. If you need help, and if you don't have a Bible, there's one in the pew. You can borrow it. Make sure you put it back. But if you look in the concordance, it gives you Old Testament, New Testament, and probably most I'll be in the New Testament today, but you can find the book, and it'll give you help. But look over here to Acts chapter 16, and verse 31. Acts chapter 16. Actually, I'm going to read verse 30 and 31. So the first thing is, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a testimony? The Bible says here, remember, Paul and Silas were in prison, and ultimately, even though they were put there unjustly, they were still praising God. See, you could be in the center of God's will, and everything around you could be going crazy, and you could still have that joy and peace that's in your heart. They did. And look down here at verse 30. The Bible says, and brought them out and said, this was the jailer, says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He asked a simple question. Amen. The response, and they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Amen? Because ultimately, after they got saved, he was going to lead their family how to be saved. Amen? What did he say? "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." My question this morning is, have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a personal testimony of how you accept Christ? Remember, Jesus, when he was talking to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus came to him by night in John 3:3. I wrote it down. I really didn't. I copied and pasted it down from the Bible. It says, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." See, there has to be a testimony, a day when you accept Christ as your Savior. Do you have that personal testimony, that day where you realize that you were a sinner on your way to hell? And you realize what Jesus Christ did for you? That He paid for your sin, was buried, and He rose again from the grave? Do you have that day in your life where you accepted Him? Maybe you were in a preaching service and you heard something, the preacher preaching. It could have been during a revival service where you heard an evangelist preaching. It could have been through a gospel tract where the Word of God was given to you. It could have been your friend. It could have been your neighbor. The truth is, it could have been, people that are preaching, they don't preach the gospel. But back in the old days when they used to preach the gospel on television, that I remember my nephew, amen, where he heard something on the gospel that was preaching on television, amen, and it stirred his mind. But there's been people that have heard the gospel on the television and they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that? Remember Paul, when he was on his way to go after the Christians, on his way to Damascus, that he saw the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave a testimony later to the kings and told them, gave them a testimony, how he accepted Christ as his Savior. Do you have that in your life? If I came down there today and walked around and walked to each and every person and say, "Can you tell me how you accepted Christ as your personal Savior?" Can you do that? See, the reality is, if you do not have a testimony, have you accepted Christ as your Savior, you may not remember all the details. Amen? I remember it was back in January of 2002 when I got saved. I was listening to an evangelist preach on a tape. Amen? I was listening to the tape, and the Holy Spirit convicted me. I saw myself as a wicked old sinner and needed to be saved. I saw that I was trusting in a prayer to get me into heaven. A prayer will not save you, amen? It's a belief from the heart. And I remember that day I got home, got down on my knees, and called out to Jesus Christ, repented of my sins, and He saved me, amen? I have a testimony. Do you have a testimony? The reality is, if you do not have a testimony how you came to Christ, it's probably because you have never came to Him. I have run into people, and I've talked to people, and I've said, about witnessing, and my goal is to see people go to heaven. Amen. That is my desire, to see people get saved, then see them get baptized and follow in the Lord. Amen. But my desire is to see people get saved. And I have run into people here that believe all kinds of things. I have run into people that said they've been baptized. And I said, "Well, that's great. You should be baptized, but that won't get you to heaven." I have run into people and said, I was born into a Christian home. I said, praise God, that's awesome. But that won't get you into heaven. Amen. You have to have a personal testimony when you accepted Christ. Let me ask you, do you have that? See, there should be evidence in your life where you got saved. Amen. You may not remember everything, but you remember that how the Word of God was involved. Maybe it was your grandma, or maybe it was your mom or your dad. Someone told you about Jesus and you accepted Him as your Savior. Amen. So that's the first point. Here's the second point. Turn over here to the book of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Not only should you have a testimony, but after you're saved, there should be these evidence that's in your life. Look what the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says this: we know that we have passed from death unto life. Amen. How we were condemned. Amen. Now we have life, eternal life, because we love the brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Amen. Here's the second point. Do you love the brother? Amen. Do you love the brother? What do I mean by that? Amen. This refers to as Christians. That's why sometimes when you'll see someone and you'll talk to them and say, Brother Eugene or Sister Ella, amen? Brother, amen? Brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm sure that you'll hear that. Here's the evidence. The second one is, do you love your brother? Do you love your brother in Christ? Now, the truth of the matter is, before you got saved, you may not have cared for Christians. I really didn't like being around Christians before I got saved, amen? Because they convicted me. Amen. But after I got saved, I wanted to be around Christians. Amen. Now that doesn't mean that everyone that, you know, in my family, not everyone in my family may be saved. Amen. And the truth is, I still love my family, but I love Christians. I love Christians. I love being around Christians. Amen. Do you have that love? You remember Paul, before he got saved, his name was Saul. Do you remember what Saul did? He hated Christians. I mean, he was out there persecuting them. When it came to a judge, Saul was there that says, I'll give my name that you put them into prison because they are testifying of Christ. That's what Saul was. Do you remember after the road to Damascus when he got saved? You remember what the Bible says? That he was with the disciples. And he loved being with them. What happened? It's because he got saved. Amen. The reality is, if you're saved, there should be that desire for Christ. Now, does that mean you're going to like everyone? No. Amen. Now, I know, you know, amen. Sometimes some people can be, I think they wake up in the morning, and I think they go through a checklist sometimes. Amen. And sometimes it's like, Pastor Dan is the lucky one for today. Amen. The truth is, that doesn't mean I'm going to always get along with everyone. Amen. But I should still care for people, still love people. The reality is, if you can't stand Christians, the Bible says maybe that's because you're not saved. Amen. See, the Bible's clear. It's black or white. You're either saved or you're lost. God doesn't want you to be hanging out there and thinking, well, I'm hoping I'm saved. You should see that evidence in your life. Do you have that love for the brother? I want you to see the third point is this. Look over here to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, here's the third point you should have as evidence. You should have a testimony when you got saved. You should have the love for the brethren. Here's the third point. Look here in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, look here at verse 16. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, the Bible says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So here's the third one. Do you have the Holy Spirit? Amen. Do you have the Holy Spirit. That's the third point. So first is, have you believed on Jesus Christ? Do you love the brother? Third point is, do you have the Holy Spirit? Now, when you get saved, you're not going to see the Holy Spirit coming down from heaven, coming in and dwelling in you. Amen? You're not going to see that. But there's evidence. How do you know? Well, Bible tells us the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. God Almighty will show you that you're His child. Before I got saved, I used to pick up my Bible, and my parents gave me a Bible, and I think it was a gift Bible. It was like a reddish color. I still remember. I probably still have it today. And I remember I tried to pick up that Bible and read it. Couldn't understand it. And I was thinking, you know, I don't understand all this. I don't understand what they're talking about. Now, there were some things I knew because I was in Sunday school. They took me to Sunday school, so I knew about David. I knew about Goliath, right? All kids were thinking, woo, David and Goliath, right? I knew about Daniel. You do know Daniel is the second best name in the Bible. Amen? You should get that. Amen? My name's Daniel. Amen? I'm just joking. Amen? Others will say John or something else. Amen? But the reality is, that's a joke. Amen? It's okay to laugh. But the truth of the matter is this. I used to love Daniel. Amen? And the reason I knew about those stories is because someone taught me. When I went through Scripture, I never learned anything from it. Amen? Then I got saved. And what this Bible saying is this. The Spirit itself beareth witness with my spirit, amen, that I'm a child of God. I picked up that Bible and I start reading John 3:16. For God so loved the world. And you know what the Holy Spirit started to do? You did. You know, amen. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. And the Holy Spirit worked on my heart and said, you remember that day that you believed? Believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What is it? It's the Spirit of God bear witness with my spirit that, hey, you're a child of God. Amen? See, you should have that evidence in your life. That day that you got saved, you have a testimony. You start seeing a change in your life. You start caring about your brothers and sisters in Christ. And then you start to have evidence where God Himself, who dwells in us, that promised to seal us until the day of redemption, will start showing you that you are a child of God. You start reading the Bible, different verses of the Bible, talks about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what will happen? The Spirit of God will say, that's what you did. Amen? You'll start reading things and you'll say, yeah, I did that. Amen? But it's the Spirit of God that beareth witness. You know, before I got saved and start reading the Scripture, I was thinking, what do they mean by that? Amen? Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. That doesn't mean when you get saved, you're going to understand everything in the Bible. Amen? The truth is, there's still some things I go through and I read and I study it out. And I'm saying, Lord, maybe when I get in heaven, amen, 10 years down the road, maybe God will allow me to understand everything that's there. Amen? But the reality is, He beareth witness. I'm a child of God. See, the truth is, if you're saved, you should see that. You should have a testimony. You should love your brother in Christ. You should have the evidence of the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you. Again, you're not going to hear. God doesn't speak to us in an audible voice. Amen? He doesn't say, this is God, right? You're not going to hear that. Amen? Especially as little kids. Little kids sometimes, they may have brothers or sisters that play with them, amen? And they're doing something wrong, they may play. Truth is, God does not speak to us that way, amen? He speaks to us through His Word, amen? But you should have evidence. You have the Holy Spirit. How can you find out? Well, it's through the Scripture. You read the Scripture, God Almighty will show you if you're saved or not. Here's the fourth point. Here's the fourth point. Look over here at 1 John. 1 John chapter 2. And 1 John chapter 2. So if you're saved, when I'm going through this message this morning, the truth of the matter is when I talk about testimony, there should be a thought in your mind saying, I remember this day when I got saved. Maybe not remember the day or the hour, but you'll remember you had a testimony. You could see in your life, you have evidence, loving the brethren. You have evidence of the Holy Spirit bearing witness with your spirit. Here's the fourth thing. Look here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 3, here's point number 4. Do you have a desire to keep His Word? Here's the fourth point. Do you have a desire to keep His Word? What the Bible says here in 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know Him. What's it saying? We have evidence. How do we know this, that we're saved? If we keep His commandments. Amen? Now, don't take it out of contents. He's not referring to the commandments of the Old Testament. There's parts of the Old Testament law that's done away. What would that be? Well, that would be the sacrificial law. Amen? That part has been done away in Christ. Amen? There's been other parts of the law that's been fulfilled. Amen? That's why it's not wrong to eat shrimp or other things. Amen? That part's been fulfilled. But keep His commandments would be His word. Do you have that desire? You remember reading through your Bible? You'll get to the book of Matthew, Mark. Amen? It's in the New Testament. You remember the book of Mark? I think it's chapter 5. You remember that guy? There was a guy there was a lunatic. And that guy that was a lunatic, ultimately, there was nothing that the world could do to help him. They put chains upon his body and tried to help him, and they could not contain him. So ultimately, he ended up in the caves. Remember, kind of remember that story? If not, just say, I'll read it later. Amen. But anyway, he was in the cave. That's a good picture of what the world tries to do. They can't help people in sin, so what they do is they try to throw them away. Amen. Get rid of them. Get them out of sight. But anyway, Jesus came that day. And when he came to the shore, that lunatic ultimately saw Jesus, and he ran towards Jesus, and ultimately, remember, there was demons that was in him. There was a legion. All those devils that was in him. And ultimately, Jesus told those demons, he said to depart, and there was a bunch of swine of pigs. Remember those swines that were there? And you think about this. The devil was comfortable living in a pig. Amen. Why in the world would you want the devil around you? Amen. I see these things that are happening in America where Satanist is actually moving up. They're doing it open in Oklahoma. They want to put a Satanist statue in Oklahoma that's there. There's people playing around with the devil, and the reality is that devil will destroy them and kill them. They don't understand what they're doing. Amen. But anyway, here was this man that was there, and Jesus told those demons to get into their swine. Their swine got into those, or the devil got into those swine and ran right down into that water and died. Then you remember the people of the place, they came back when they saw this. They went and told people. They came back. When they came back, remember that lunatic they could not heal, could not do anything, was always in the chains. They found him clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Amen? And afterwards, what happened? Amen? There is a reason for this. Amen. Afterwards, what happened? They told him to say, get out of our place. You would think they wouldn't want Jesus around. Amen. He just did something awesome. Amen. No wonder in a society that we see today, they do not like him. Amen. They do not mention his name. Sadly, down in North Carolina, can you believe in North Carolina, down in the Bible Belt, they were trying to bring up a law that you cannot pray in the name of Jesus? He's our God. Amen. How else are you going to pray? Amen. Why is it? It's because of that precious name they despise. But anyway, this lunatic was there, and they told Jesus to leave. So Jesus started to get on his boat to leave, and that lunatic that was sitting beside him started to walk along with Jesus. And Jesus turned around and looked at him and said, go home and tell your friends the great things that God has done. That man did what? He went home. He started to proclaim. He said, hey, you remember me? I used to be the guy that was up in the caves. And you remember? You told your children not to come around me. But look what Jesus did to me. What did he do? He had a desire to keep God's word, whatever God told him. Amen? Though that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. Amen? No one's perfect. Amen? The truth of the matter is we all have sin. Amen? We still, after we become a Christian, we sin. But there should be that desire to keep his word. Let me ask you, when you come to the Scripture, do you have that desire to keep his word? There should be. If you got saved, or you have a testimony, you got saved, and you have never had a desire to keep the word of God, well, there's either two things. Either the Bible's wrong, or you are. Amen? See, the truth of the matter is there should be that desire. Again, you're not going to be perfect. No one's perfect. Amen? But there should be that desire. Look at what the Bible says over here to the book of Matthew. In Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7. You should see this in your life. The Bible says here in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, look here at verse 17. in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 17. Now, in contents is always important in Scripture. If you read verse 15 down through verse 20, he speaks of false prophets, but what's he talking about? Their fruits. We can take that and apply it to us as Christians. And what we see here in verse 17, what does he say? Even so, every good truth, amen, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So here's the next one, right? Number 5 or E, however you're keeping track of your notes. Are you bearing good fruit? Are you bearing good fruit? Here it is. The Bible says every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. The house that we're staying in, and Lord willing, one day we'll be able to, everything worked out, we'll be able to buy it. Has this big apple tree. I think I've told you about apple trees. Every time I see an apple tree, I don't just see apples, I see apple pies, I see apple crisp, amen. That's what I see, amen. But what I'm doing is I've been going out looking at that tree, and it had the nice little buds that come on, amen. And it's budding, and you see the little flowers. We have so many big bumblebees that are around that, which is needed, amen, as they go there and pollinate the flowers. And we have seen hummingbirds. I think hummingbirds are just pretty neat, amen. But I'm looking there at that tree, and ultimately I can't wait because I'll start seeing a little apple, amen. Start seeing that fruit. And I have heard from the people that live there and others who have tasted, they've got some fruit from there, that fruit is so good. I love apples. I love all kinds of apples. My favorite is Macintosh. You may like something different, amen. And but anyway, I heard they're good apples, and I'm thinking, I can't wait to take one of those apples and eat it, amen. I just love it. And then see my wife make an apple pie. And when I come in with a grin from ear to ear, you know that I got my first apples there, amen. But good fruit. Now, God's not saying that you're going to produce apples, amen. He's not talking about grapes. He's not talking about pears or plums or whatever it would be. Amen. But there should be fruits of the Spirit that should be evidence in your life. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. You should see those fruits in your life. Let me ask you, since you got saved, do you see fruit, the evidence, in your life? If you have a testimony of Christ, there should be some changes. You love the brother, and you should see the evidence of the Holy Spirit. There should be that desire, and there should be some fruit, amen, where there's changes. If you're telling me you got saved, and there's no changes, no fruit, well, the reality is it's because you didn't get saved, amen. When I was 5 years old, I remember I was at a church in Chambersburg, Pennsylvania. It was called Open Door Church, I believe it was called. But anyway, at this church, it was a good church. Pastor Dino, I think it was his name. That's not important, but it was a very large church. It was probably over 1,000 people in this church. It was a huge church. I just remember they used to take pictures, and this picture they took, I mean, it was just, I just remember seeing, I met tons and tons of people. It was amazing. But I remember in Sunday school, I remember they preached, someone taught a lesson and for the kids. I was 5, and they said something, if someone wants to know how to go to heaven, pray this prayer. I'm someone that's 5 years old. I didn't understand everything. I just remember them saying something about hell, and I was like, well, it scared me. And I remember as a 5-year-old boy praying the prayer. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Someone can get saved when they're 5 years old. Amen. The truth is, I've met some people who have been 4 years old. Amen. They have saved. They have evidence in their life. But I was a 5-year-old boy. I just prayed a prayer. That's what I was trusting in, a prayer. I did not trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And this is why I'm telling you this. Because from 5 years old up to I was about 25, there was no fruit in my life that I was a Christian. Truth of the matter is, by the time I became 12 years old, I was already a drunk. By the time I was 13, I was already doing pot. By the time I was 16, I was already starting to black out, going out, doing all kinds of crazy things. I mean, I had no fruit in my life. I didn't care about the things of God. But I would always go back to that prayer that I prayed. The truth of the matter is, that prayer, I wasn't saved. I didn't trust in God. Amen. There was no fruit, no evidence. I didn't care for people. Truth is, there are a lot of people I hated. I despised. Why was that? Because I wasn't saved. Amen? I may have had a profession, but the truth is there was no evidence. See, I believe that. I'm not saying here, amen. Hopefully you're all saved, amen. But I believe there's churches all across America, people sitting in the pew, that ultimately have no evidence of salvation. And they're holding on to whatever they did when they were a young kid or adult or whatever, and they have no evidence, and they're thinking that they're going to heaven, not knowing, looking at the Scripture, and the Scripture tells them the truth, and they're thinking, well, I'm fine. I was that way as a 5-year-old. You know, the truth of the matter is, when I had people come up to me, and I could quote Scripture. You know why? Because as a Sunday school, they put that in my mind. Amen? I had it there. It's there. I could quote Scripture. I could tell someone, I could lead them down the Romans road. I could tell them. Truth of the matter is, I knew all kinds of Scripture. Just because I knew Scripture didn't mean I was saved. There was no fruit. Can I tell you, after I got saved, I could see a change in my life. I start to see that love. Now, I'm not talking about the love of the world. Amen. The world has a thought of love. It's you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. That's love. That's not true love. Love is this. Amen. What's written on their bulletin. Amen. That someone would give their life. That's love. That's a sacrificial love. Amen. How Jesus loved you, not expecting anything in return. He wanted to save you. Amen. But true love, I start to see joy. I start to see peace in my life. I would go to bed when I was in my 20s, and I could not sleep. Now, please don't misunderstand. Just because you can't sleep doesn't mean you're lost. Amen. But what I'm saying is, if that was true, amen, I would have been lost last night, amen. I was struggling to sleep, amen. I'll blame it my wife since she isn't here. When she comes up, I won't. I'm just joking, amen. But what I'm saying is, when I was 20-some years old, I had a hard time sleeping. You know why I had a hard time sleeping? Because I started to remember all the wicked things I did. And those burdens that was on me. I couldn't stand it. So you know what I would do? I would go out and get drunk so that way I would wake up the next day and I wouldn't remember all those things that I did. Then I'd wake up the next day and I'm thinking, oh, what did I do? And then I would go and repeat the pattern. I had no peace. I had no joy. People used to come up to me and say, wow, you look like really happy. Did you ever see that commercial that talks about depression and it has that little, they put up that little fake thing that's commercial there and it looks like a little happy face. That was me carrying around a little stick with a fake happy face. Because that was me. Because on the outside, people thought I had joy and peace. I did not. Until that day I got saved. After I got saved, let me tell you, there was joy that I had that was real. There was peace that I had that's in my heart that the world could not give. Amen? What is that? It's evidence of salvation. I won't go through all the points, amen. I told Marshall when he had 10 points, I was going to be really fast, but I tried, amen. But it's really hard. I have to make sure I get it very thorough. But the truth of the matter is, you should have this. Ask yourself, do you have those fruits? You may say, well, I don't. Well, the blessing is, God brought you here today that you can have eternal life. You can. And it's by trusting in Jesus Christ to save you. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to join the church. You don't have to give your money. It's just a repentive heart. And you turn believing what Jesus did for you. Believing that He died for you on the cross. That He was buried for you and He arose. And He became your substitute. See, that day that you trust Him as your Savior, that's the day that you have that testimony. Let me ask you today, do you have that testimony? And if so, do you have some of these evidence in your life? We'll finish next week, Lord willing, the rest of the evidence. But you should see them. If you don't, it wasn't me trying to make up things. Amen. I just gave you the clear Scripture. And the truth is, you should see that. And if you see it in your life, it should bring that joy. Because you know that you're on your way to heaven. If not, should bring conviction and say, "Ooh, do something about it. Do something about it, because you too can have that joy." Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this opportunity to be able to preach. I thank you for watching over us and keeping us.